Amen. You know, in our world today, the home is under attack. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it's, we were talking in Sunday school this morning about how we are called to stand against the wiles of the devil. And one of the attacks that Satan, I believe, has in our world today is that he wants to divide. He wants to divide and separate people from God. He wants to divide and separate husbands from wives. He wants to divide and separate children from parents and grandchildren from grandparents. In doing so, in relationships, and thereby bringing destruction in communities. But God is a God of providence. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And he's a God of power who can recover and reclaim all of that. Amen? If you would, take your Bible this morning and be turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. We're taking a couple weeks break from Galatians. We'll pick it back up again next week. And as you're turning there, I just want to, first of all, we're going to have the children dismiss in just a moment. But just a moment, kids. Before you go, if I would like all the mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers to stand. I want to recognize you this morning. Thank you for being here. Let's give them a hand. Now, also, if your mother is here or your grandmother, turn to them and say, I love you. I didn't see all of you do it now. All right. Okay, the children may be dismissed to children's church at this time. Now, while they're going, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. And moms, you can tell your children, if they're still in here, you're worth it. All right. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 22. We're going to be in the Old Testament today. We're pulling out a couple of names here that you may not have ever heard of before. I certainly wasn't familiar with them. But one of the things you'll discover when you're reading your Bible is oftentimes it's men's names that are mentioned. In a few places, you'll encounter some women. There are a couple of books that are named after women, Ruth and Esther. And what I would say is that the scripture is very honorable towards women, especially for the day and age in which it was written. God's word is always honoring of women who followed him. Now, what we're going to look at today is one woman who didn't and one woman who did. But one of the things that you'll discover as you're reading your Bible, anytime that a woman's name is mentioned, you need to stand up and take notice. Because God's doing something. He's always doing something in the Bible, but he's doing something specific. So 2 Chronicles chapter 22, if you would stand with me. 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, you'll find it 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and then Ezra. 2 Chronicles 22, beginning in verse 10. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. But when Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Josiah, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah. A lot of family connections here. We'll explain them in a minute. Hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. And you'll find out in chapter 24, verse 1, Joash was 7 years old when he became king and reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we come before you now. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the impact of it. We thank you for how we see in your word how you have worked in people's lives. And we thank you for mothers and for those that step in and become mothers when the need arises. Lord, I pray this morning that you would take your word, that you would apply it to our hearts, that you would instruct us and teach us your ways, so that we can glorify you and make you known to the world around us. I pray by your Holy Spirit you would empower me to preach and that you would quicken your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Proverbs 31, verses 30 through 31 say this: charm is deceitful, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. This morning I want to tell you the story of a couple of women. One of them we just read about, one of them you may have heard of before. Anybody here heard the name Jehoshabeth in Scripture? Okay. Well, you're well-versed in your Bibles then. Because she's only mentioned here in 2 Chronicles 22 in these couple of verses, and also over in 2 Kings 11. She's mentioned a couple of times in the same context. But I want to tell you a story about another woman. This woman was born back in the 1800s, given the name Araminta Ross. And she was born into extreme poverty. She was born into extreme hardship. In fact, she had to begin working, was forced to begin working at a young age. She noticed a lot of hardship around her. She noticed a lot of pain around her. In fact, one day she noticed as she was working in the fields, somebody was trying to leave, and another man came and was abusing him. Took something in his hand, threw it at him, and it hit her in the head. It was a metal object. And from that moment on, she said, I want to change my situation. And I want to change as many people's situation as possible. She was a slave, a little slave girl in the South. Actually, she was in Maryland. I don't know. I don't know about you. I don't really count Maryland as the South, but there you go. You ever heard of Araminta? Well, what she did is she grew up. She escaped later on. But she was faithful to God. She grew up, had a relationship with the Lord, and she determined that she was going to protect and preserve the life of as many people as she could. She got involved with a system that she learned about. You probably have heard of it as the Underground Railroad. Anybody heard of that? And as she became a conductor on the Underground Railroad, and later they called her the Black Moses. As she grew up, she took her mother's name and her husband's surname, and thus became Harriet Tubman, rescuing over 300 people on the Underground Railroad, never losing a one. And people asked her later on, how could you do it? She was so hated that they put a $40,000 bounty on her head, which was a lot of money back in the mid-1800s. And people said, how could you do it? How could you go back? And how could you risk that, going to rescue others? And there are two things that she said in response. One, she said, I told the Lord, I'm taking you by the hand, and I'm trusting you to lead me through. The second thing she said, they can only kill me once. She was a woman of great faith, but a woman that acted when the need arose. And her faith was in her Lord. Well, I think in a similar way, Jehoshabeth, mentioned only a couple of times here in Scripture, is a woman of great faith who believed God's promise, acted to protect God's people, and in her role, she provided for the spiritual education of God's child, the one that should be king. Look with me again in verse 10. It says, now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead. I want to set the stage here for you who Jehoshabeth is. First of all, she's a woman that is in the midst of a great time of turmoil. Who is Athaliah? Athaliah is one of the wickedest queens ever. In fact, she's the only queen, if we could even call her that, over Judah, the southern kingdom. She was the one who usurped the throne, and she was the wife of Jehoram, King Jehoram, not Ahaziah. Jehoram, Ahaziah's father. Jehoram was the son of a great king, Jehoshaphat, but he did not walk after the manner that the scripture says. He did not walk after the manner of Jehoshaphat. Rather, he led people astray. One of the things that he did, Athaliah, he married Athaliah. Now, Athaliah was the daughter of a northern king that you've probably heard of and queen called Ahab and Jezebel. She was Jezebel's daughter. Jezebel was a queen that Ahab married from up even further north that brought all her false gods with her and was instrumental in causing the northern kingdom of Israel to go astray into idolatry even further than they already had. But when Jehoram became king, he was 32 years old. He'd already married by this time. His father had married him off to Athaliah, trying to bond this alliance with the northern kingdom of Israel. And so he became king, and one of the first things that he did, you can find this, actually, if you flip the page. And I think maybe, doesn't say it, but it could have been his wife drove him to it. If you flip back to chapter 21, it says that Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers, then Jehoram his son reigned in his place, and his brothers, he had brothers, verse 2, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, you can pronounce the next one. Azariah, Michael, and Shephatiah. These were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. That's great, isn't it? Their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold and precious things with fortified cities in Jerusalem, but he gave the kingdom to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now, when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, notice this, he strengthened himself and all his brothers with the sword. He killed all his brothers with the sword and also others of the princes of Israel. He was 32 years old when he became king. He only reigned 8 years. He was despised. He married Athaliah when he was younger than this, and through Athaliah's influence, he brought in false gods, introduced them to this southern kingdom of Judah, and turned them from the worship of the one true God in a very short period of time to the worship of false gods. He set up false priests, and Athaliah was instrumental along with him in that. He killed off all his brothers so that only his line would have the throne. You say, well, why is that so important? Well, God had given to his forefather, David, a promise. He had promised David. Are you with me this morning? I know we're throwing lots of names out. This is important. What I want to set the stage for is this. These people are living in a time of great turmoil, and they're living in a time of great trouble because the line of David is about to be cut off. Here, Jehoram, a couple of generations before, had said, I'm going to kill all my brothers so that only I remain and only my children can become king. But his son comes to power, Azariah, and he reigns only 1 year. He goes off and he's killed. He was about 22 years old. He has a sister, Jehoshabeth. That's how I'm going to call her. That's how it's a little easier to say. So we'll call her Jehoshabeth. That's how she's called in 1 and 2 Kings. Or Jehoshabeth, however you want to say it. Anyway, he's got a sister and he's got a son. But along the way, when, when Azariah's mother, Athaliah, finds out that all her son's dead, what she decides to do is she's this wicked woman. She's only concerned about herself. She's only concerned about her own purposes. So what she decides to do is she decides to cut off anybody that has any possibility of ruling. She wants the throne. She's selfish. She does not care about her posterity. She doesn't care about her children. She doesn't care about her grandchildren. She wants the throne. She's wicked. Now, the troubling thing at this point in time is that God had given to David a promise that there would never fail to be someone of his descendants to sit on the throne of Judah. And when Athaliah rises to the throne, a descendant of that wicked King Ahab, the offspring of that wicked Queen Jezebel, she is usurping God's promise. She is sitting there in defiance of what God has said. Are you with me this morning? God has promised that there would never be one, and it would ultimately be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that he told David, there's going to be somebody. There's going to be somebody alive to sit on your throne, one of your descendants. For two generations, all of David's descendants, except for this very narrow band, have been cut off. And now, Athaliah, not a descendant of David, is trying to kill the last of David's line. Do you catch the trouble that things are in? Now, I want you to turn your attention to Jehosheba. Who is she? She's one, first of all, she's one that is righteous. And I'm going to give you three things, women, this morning that she did. First of all, she was persuaded. Write this down. She was persuaded of God's promise. You say, how do you get that? Well, I'll tell you, I get it from her name. Jehosheba means this: Yahweh is an oath. Now, what's Yahweh? Yahweh is the name of God. Her name means is she believes God's word is certain. She believes God's word is a certain promise. And she acts. Now, does she understand everything that's going on? I don't know, but I think so. I think here's what happened in her life. About a year before, her daddy died, King Jehoram. He was despised. Sometime previous to that, she had been married off to the high priest, a man much older than she was. She's probably in her early 20s. He at this time would have been close to 70 or even older. That's okay. So she's married off, and she sees her daddy die, King Jehoram. He was so despised that they didn't even bury him with the rest of the kings. The Bible says he wasn't even missed. But then she sees her brother come to the throne, not do much better, and he's killed within a year. And the next thing she knows, either her mother or her stepmother, that's who Athaliah was either her mother or her stepmother, is going around killing everybody in the royal palace. Do you sense the tension that's building? If she doesn't do anything, she's probably safe. She can hide in the background. She's the wife of the high priest. And Athaliah is certainly not a woman that's going to go to see the high priest. She can hide and melt into the background. But no, her name means she believes God's word is certain, that it's an oath, that it's a promise. And so she acts upon God's word. Women, this morning I want to tell you, by way of encouragement, that no matter your circumstances, no matter who your parents were, no matter where you came from, no matter what position you find yourself in right now, one thing that you can count on is God's word is certain. God's word is true. Can I get an amen? Because it is, all right? Thank you. God's word is true. Ladies, whatever the circumstance you're in, one thing you can know is that God's word is true. That's what Jehosheba's name means. That's what she believed. God's word is true. So what does she do? She acts. She acts. Look with me in the next verse, verse 11. It says, Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Azariah, stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. You know what she did? Write this down. She protected life. She valued life. Even though this child was not her own, even though by convenience sake, and even though for security's sake, it might have been safer for her to just kind of melt into the background, what she decided to do is, no, I've got to act. Mom is doing something terrible. I've got to step in right now, and I've got to save and spare this child's life. Are you with me this morning? She says, no, this child is important. And not only is this child important, it wasn't just about Joash, this little baby, less than a year old. It's not just about that. She values all life. You say, how can you say that, Brother Nathan? Well, because she not only hides Joash, she also hides his nurse. What she's doing is she's recognizing a principle of Scripture that we find all the way back at the very beginning. When God said, let us make man in our image, it says he created them male and female. In the image of God created he them. Genesis 1 verse 27. In other words, life, human beings are made in the image of God. They have God's stamp upon them. They are valuable. They are precious. Each and every one of us is precious. And what she's saying is that even though mama may not value life, her mama or stepmama, she's saying God values life. And because of that, I'm going to step out and I'm going to do something risky. I'm going to protect and value life as well. This was not her own child, but it didn't matter, because she said this child is valuable to God. You find in Psalm 139 wonderful words where God says through the psalmist that he knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows everything about us. He knows when we sit down. He knows when we rise up. And the psalmist says, how wonderful are your thoughts towards me, O Lord. God values life. And brothers and sisters, so should we. God, we are called not only to value the life of those that God entrusts us with, we're called to value the life of those that are around us. Those who are being threatened. Those who need help. You see, our cultural values place personal freedom over responsibility. Athaliah is an example of that. She's one that does not care what happens to other people as long as she is comfortable and secure in her place. And if you look around us, one of the great problems in our society today is that we're taught only number one matters, right? Where only what happens to me is what's important, and so I don't care what happens to other people. It's all about what's my comfort and what's best for me. And thus you see the breakdowns that results, that sin of heart results. But it doesn't have to be that way, because here's one, Jehoshabeth, who trusts in God. And because she trusts in God, she says, it's not just about my comfort. It's about God's word, it's about God's promise, and it's about God's people. It's about others. She puts somebody else ahead of herself. This, by the way, is at the heart of motherhood. Our world tries to twist this today, and our world tells women, it's a choice whether you want to love this baby or not. But women, God has placed you in a unique position to nurture, to love and to care for another life. And he's called you to it. What a wonderful thing that is. And here Jehosheba is acting in accordance with that. She protected life. Not only did she protect life, but the final point this morning, she believed God's promise. She protected life, but she also provided for spiritual training. You say, where do you get that? Well, look down in verse 12. So she takes him in, she takes the nurse in, she hides them so that Athaliah can't get to them. And what does she do? Verse 12 says that Joash was hidden with them. Underline that word. He's in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. But he's hidden with them. Who is them? Well, it's Jehoiada the high priest and his wife Jehosheba. And together what they're doing is they are training him and ministering to his needs. Now, ladies, you know this to be true. If your husband was the high priest, what's that mean he's probably out doing high priest stuff, right? He comes home, he probably pats little Joash on the head, says, good boy. And but who's spending the most time with him? Mama, thank you. Y'all know this to be true, right? When they're little, who's around them the most? Mama is. Who's there to tell them, you need to eat your peas? Well, I sometimes tell my kids that, but who's most often telling them that? Mama. Who's there to wipe their nose when it bleeds? Dad says, hey, just wipe it off. Who's there to wipe their tears when they cry? Who does a little child run to when it wants comfort? If they're hurt, they don't run to me first. They run to Mama. Right? Jehosheba is this little Joash's mama. He's with them. And she's taking care of him, raising him as her own, bringing him into her family. And what better place than in the house of God? What she's doing is she's saying, while I have any influence over his life, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, yes, it's a place of protection because Athaliah is not going to get him there, but I'm going to get him as close to God, as close proximity to God as I possibly can. Every moment that I possibly can, I'm going to be instructing him a little more about the Lord. He's around it from the time that he can remember. Titus 2, 3 through 5 says this, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Notice it says that they're to train the young women to love their husbands and their children. That's what Jehosheba is doing. She's loving this child. Even though she did not bear him, she's taking him as her own, loving him and bringing him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. James Keller said this, every mother has the breathtaking privilege of sharing with God in the creation of new life. And I would add to that, they also have the incredible privilege and responsibility of shaping and molding that child's knowledge of God. Jehosheba is shaping Joash's knowledge of God from a young age. Did it bear fruit? Oh, yes, it did. It changed an entire generation. You can read for yourself the rest of the story. But the story goes like this. I'll just summarize it. Joash, when he's 7 years old, Jehoiada gathers all the men together and he brings them out, all the captains of the army, and he says, listen, guys, he brings them into the temple. He says, there is actually an heir to the throne. Athaliah is a usurper of the throne. There's a legitimate heir to the throne. It's Joash. We've been hiding him for 6 years. He's 7 years old. And they come and they crown him king. Athaliah comes running out screaming treason, even though she's the murderous fiend. She's saying treason. And they take her out of the temple. The only time she visited it, by the way. They take her out of the temple and put her to death because she's the traitor outside the gate. Joash comes to the throne, and the Bible's testimony of Joash is that the first thing he starts to do is he starts to repair and rebuild the temple, and then he casts out all the idols. And as long as Jehoiada, who became like a father to him, is there, he rules and points people to the Lord. And he does so for 40 years. When Jehoiada passes away, he gets ensnared in political alliances, and he ends up turning from the Lord. He ends up even killing a high priest. You say, well, was it worth it? Absolutely it was. You see, where Jehoshaphat stands is in the providence of God. She acted according to the providence of God. God had her position just in that moment, just at that time, to take action in order to protect life, preserve life, point people back to the Lord, and bring this young boy into a place where he could understand and know about the one true God so that many would be turned back to righteousness. But not only that, God had her in that place at that time for one particular purpose, if nothing else, and that was to preserve the line of David, which was his promise, so that one day the Lord Jesus Christ would sit and rule and reign on that throne. Did she understand all that at the time? I'm not sure she did. But three things I am certain of: she believed God's promise, she chose to protect life, even if it was a risk to herself, and she chose to place and provide spiritual training for the one that God had entrusted her. I got three questions this morning. This applies to men and women, but specifically women. Before I close, I want to just say this. I saw this week a little clip. This goes along with the protecting life part. I saw this week a little clip. There was this, you may have seen it too, there were these people that were on this drive-through safari somewhere over, I think, in France. And they got out of their vehicle around some cheetahs. Did you see this? And at first, nothing happened. They're taking pictures. They get back in. They drive around the corner. But they had this little child. And you could see the people behind them were filming all this. It all took place in the span of a couple of minutes. You could see this little child gets out, and the cheetah's heads all go. And they start following with their eyes that little child. They get back in the car. They drive around the corner. And the cheetahs all get up and follow. And without them knowing it, they got out to go take some pictures of another. And they're told not to get out, by the way. To take some pictures of another group of animals, and these cheetahs all surround. And they all go running back to the car. But you notice something? When you watch that video, you can look it up online. Here's what I noticed. I don't know if he's a teenage boy or if he's the father. Either way, he was the first one back to the vehicle. I was like, what? But mama was out. And this little baby is out there too. And what does she do? She scoops him up in her arms, and she walks back to the vehicle a couple times, turning around and telling the cheetah to get back. She's walking quickly. But you know where her heart lies? Protecting that baby. Whereas the other guy, whoever he was protecting himself. Women, God has called you and gifted you to protect and preserve life. Now, he's called men to do this too. But this being Mother's Day, I just want to say you are to be honored for protecting and preserving life. But he's also called you to raise that life, however that life comes into, whether it's your own child or it's one that God has placed in your care. He's called you to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I've got three questions and we'll close. Mothers, are you bringing your children before the Lord, before the throne of God in prayer? How do you provide spiritual training? There's no better spiritual training for a child than to know that their mother is praying for them, or their grandmother is praying for them, or their great-grandmother is praying for them and bringing them before the Lord, bringing them into the presence of God. Jehoshaphat placed Joash in the presence of God. How do you place your child in the presence of God? Bring them before the throne in prayer. And let them know it. Secondly, have you received the call to protect life? She did it at great cost to herself. And many of you ladies, if not all of you, have already done this. When a woman gives birth, it's at great cost to herself. But God calls us to protect life. Have you received that call and rejoiced in it? Are there those around you that he would, are there other children that maybe you didn't give birth to that God's calling you to in some way step in and advocate for? Finally, have you recognized your role in God's provident plan? Have you believed his promise? You see, Jehoshaphat is mentioned in Scripture because she believed the promise of God and she acted. She became a part of God's purpose. She became a part of God's plan because she said, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to do something. Would you stand with me this morning? Women, you're to be greatly honored. The woman who fears the Lord. You've already done this with your own children. You're already bringing them before the Lord in prayer. Keep on. You'll be greatly honored for that. And you will be by the Lord, if not in this life. But my encouragement to you this morning is just this. Do you realize that God has a purpose and a plan for where you are right now? That he's placed you in the position